Okay, now I think it's on. Well, first, thank you, Pastor Rich and Shelley, for the opportunity to come and share the Word of God with the people of God. It is truly an honor to be here. As Pastor Rich mentioned, I do have quite a long history with this church. As you can tell, I have an accent. So I'm originally from Brazil. I grew up in Argentina as the child of missionaries. My parents were in the Church of the Nazarene serving God in several countries in South America for over 25 years. And every 3 years or so, as missionaries, we would come to the United States and spend 3 months traveling around, preaching in churches, sharing the Word of God. And this church happened to be the very first church that my parents came to share the Word of God. That was 25 years ago. Wow, that is amazing, because my parents don't speak English. And so guess what? I had to translate. So sometimes my dad would, you know, tell jokes that didn't really translate, and I've shared this before, but, you know, I would take the liberty to make up my own joke. That way he didn't feel bad about it, and people laughed, and he's like, oh, yeah, I got it. You know, good joke about it. But it was so interesting. We served in the church. I became a pastor myself for over 10 years, and now I've been teaching and preparing and equipping the next generation of ministers. And so that's what I do. I teach at Olivet, and I enjoy preaching as well. You know, pastors' kids are wonderful. You know, we kind of either absorb the nature of the church, or we either kind of say, oh man, another Sunday, you know, that we got to go with our parents and they make us go to church. But you know, there's something beautiful about even going to church when you don't feel like it, because you're absorbing and you're listening and you're feeding your soul and you're opening up to what God is doing little by little to bring you closer to Him. And so sometimes, yeah, we don't feel like praying. We don't feel like, you know, coming, but every time we do, it's one step closer to God's purposes and plans for each one of us. We are His children, His people, and He wants to shepherd us and do a mighty, mighty work in our lives. Well, the title of the sermon today is The Life of the Empowered Community. The Life of the Empowered Community. Now, I chose this title a little bit on purpose, because the name of your church is Real Life. So real life, it's the life of the Spirit. And when we allow our hearts and open ourselves up to what God can do, truly we get empowered with real life. Amen? I mean, this is your identity. This is your community. This is your church. And so the empowerment that comes from the Spirit Himself is what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. The scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to read it here. It's a long chapter. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all of it. And I'm going to just select a few verses. It'll be on the screen so you can follow along. And this is what the Word of God says. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Continuing on, when all the people saw him walking, praising God, a lame who had been healed miraculously, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Filled. One of the most famous quotes in sports history came from announcer Al Michaels. He was covering an Olympic game between the United States and a favorite Russian team, And this took place in the winter of 1980, 3 years before I was born, so I don't remember it. But it is told that all of a sudden, and really as a surprise, the United States won this game. And then he uttered the famous words, "Do you believe in miracles?" Miracles happen, okay, not only in sports, but also in the life of the church, also in our individual families. And so I want to ask you that same question. Do you believe in miracles? The early disciples certainly did, because they witnessed Jesus performing miracles. And now they were witnessing themselves the incoming of the Holy Spirit as God's divine intervention, miraculously intervention through this powerful wind that set them free to live the Christian life from the inside out. Now, if you notice the passages we read, there's a word that keeps repeating, filled. Filled. Say it with me, filled. Now, this passage speaks about a house being filled, and then the disciples being filled. And then, as their number grew, the community was filled with awe, which attracted the people around them to be filled with amazement. And their numbers kept growing and growing. Why? Well, because they were filled. They were not full. They were filled. Now, how was that possible? Well, because the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And today, in a world full of bad news, full of doubt and fear, full of tragic events, full of unwanted results, full of unexpected turns and constant turmoil, full of things that don't seem to go our way, full of activities that seem to distract us, the church often remains powerless. Why? Because we're full. We're not filled. And in order to be filled, we must empty, empty, empty. Now, you might be wondering, what are you talking about? I already feel empty. I already feel like my life is empty. I mean, you're full of external things, but you feel empty. Well, guess what? That makes you a great candidate for the Holy Spirit to fill you up. Because that's exactly what he's looking for. People that are hungry, thirsty, desperate for something that will fulfill their lives and take them to their destiny with purpose in God's mighty, mighty presence. And so filled, filled, filled. That's a wonderful promise of the Holy Spirit that he wants to do even here today. Now, the story is told of a powerful king who had a vast army of horses. The horse trainers had learned the best techniques to train these horses. And in the midst of the battle, with a clashing of swords and the agonizing screams of warriors, these horses were trained to remain attentive to the rider's commands despite the distraction, the noise, and the pain of the battle. At any cost, they had to listen to the riders and obey their commands. After preliminary training, a final test was given to see which horse out of all those strong and fast horses would be the horse that the king would ride. And so they were giving this test, and all the horses had to learn to respond to signals. One of the signals was a whistle. Every time that the trainer would blow the whistle, that meant the horses would have to stop and turn and go to the king. Well, they were going to be testing these horses with a final test, and a barn was built, and all the horses, the fastest and the strongest, were led inside this barn. And what happened was the door and the gate was shut, and all the horses were inside this barn. Now, a day came, the first day, and there was no water and no food. They were hungry, but far worse was their thirst. There was nothing there inside the barn that would quench or feed them. They could see the water down the hill as the river was just down the hill, and they had nothing to do but wait and wait. A second day came and went by, and the same thing happened. The horses were famished. No food, no water was given to them. But that was nothing compared to their scream for that their bodies were feeling to quench their thirst. Desperately needing water, they attempted now to beat down the sides of the barn to try to escape in fear that they had been forgotten and left to die. The third day was the same. No food, no water. Now dehydrated, these horses were losing their fight. They had spent all their energy seeking release from captivity. They were broken. Hope for living was dying. And then, out of nowhere, at the end of the third day, the trainers opened the gate. The barrier was gone. The life-giving, life-saving water was within their reach. And then energy somehow began to return. And it was downhill all the way to the water. And the horses were running as fast as they could with their little energy left when all of a sudden the trainer blew the whistle. The whistle meant, come to the king, no matter the cost. Come and stop whatever you're doing and come. Well, upon hearing the whistle, all the horses stopped their mad dash to the water, but only for a moment. All the horses, most of the horses, were caught between all their desperate need for water and the months of training to come to the king's whistle. Almost all of their horses succumbed to their need for water and ignored it. But there was this one horse who heard the whistle and painfully turned, mustering every single bit of energy left to come to respond despite his thirst, despite his hunger, his need. Why? Because he knew that if he was the horse that the king himself wanted, the king would not leave him without all his needs being met. As he turned to the king, sure enough, he was given plenty of water, plenty of food, plenty to restore him and renew him, and that was the horse for the king. We are the ones that must hear the whistle. And when we turn, despite our lack of energy, our lack of thirst, our lack is then filled with his presence, with his grace, with his goodness. And all of a sudden, our strength seems to become better, and our energy seems to become brighter. Why? Because the life-giving, life-saving power of the Holy Spirit fills us from the inside out and gives us everything we need to conquer sin, to resist temptation, to deliver us from evil. And that is the power that fills this place and fills your life and fills my life and gives us hope in the middle of despair and picks us back up when all we want to do is turn the other side. That is the presence of the living King. The King, the powerful King, the Almighty King, who has a vast army of horses, strong, fast. And even though we sometimes don't feel like it and have to turn painfully, he says, come, I will fill you up. Come, I will not leave you without. Come, I will give you more and more so that you can continue to get the life, the spirit-filled life that you have always wanted. That is the fulfillment that comes from that kind of presence that only he can satisfy. Now, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Jesus himself, before he ascended to heaven, said, and now, this was his promise, okay? He was promising that you, talking to the disciples, and he says this to us too, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, the word power doesn't refer to, like, you know, the world's power to conquer. It refers to a kind of different power. The Greek word is the word dunamis, which translated literally, it's like a dynamite. It's like this explosion that comes from the inside to help you live a victorious life. And that is what Jesus regenerates in us the moment that our emptiness becomes filled with his glory. And what does it mean, really? Well, it means that you're giving exactly what you need. Power to overcome sin, power to resist temptation, power to overcome trials when they keep coming your way, power to be transformed into his image and likeness as we live out the Christian life. That's what it means. Now, one day I was in the kitchen cooking. It doesn't happen often because I don't like to cook too much. I don't have a lot of time. But I haven't, you know, it happened to me that I was cooking. And my little girl came and said, looked at me and said, "Mom, can I have a piece of candy?" And I said, "Yeah, you can have a piece of candy after dinner. Okay, and mommy's cooking dinner and we're gonna, you know, enjoy it." And, "Okay, mommy, all right." So she kept holding it in her hand. And the moment I turned back, well, she had unwrapped the piece of candy and now she was holding and looking at it and said, "Sophia, put that down. You know, you can only eat it after dinner," I said. And then I kept cooking, and sure enough, I had seen her, like, she was licking it. And I said, "Sophia, it is not time to eat the candy. Mom, I'm just licking it. I'm just trying to see if this is the candy I want to eat after dinner. And if it's not good, then I don't want it." I'm like, "Okay, put that down, because it's not going to end well." Well, I was serving the meal on the plate, and yeah, sure enough, she had swallowed the candy. And I said, "What happened?" "Mom, I just couldn't resist. It was just so good that I had to, you know, to eat it. But guess what, Mom? It's all stuck in my teeth right now. I don't like this candy." Well, that's exactly what happens when we begin to be tempted and we get closer and closer to that. It's downward from there. And so in order for us to resist temptation, we must turn away the moment we feel tempted. If you keep going that way, you will not be able to resist. And so the power of God can only come when we also collaborate with him. And the moment we choose to say, "Okay, which way am I going to go?" it's not going to end well, because it'll get stuck in my heart. And God wants, like, "Okay, if it's stuck in your heart, then you can't live in freedom. And if it gets stuck in your heart, then where's the power of the Spirit? Now you have to confess. Now you have to repent. Now you have to come to him and say, 'Lord, I'm sorry, I failed.'" They'll go, "Okay, the Lord will give you the grace." And then he will give you the grace, but you got to turn away. And that's what it means to have the power of God, to not only resist temptation, but to overcome your tendencies towards sin. He gives you that. He doesn't promise it. He gives it and offers it. It is possible. It is possible to live a life of obedience if you desire to live in freedom. It's our choice. It's our choice. And it doesn't happen, you know, miraculously and magically. It is one step, as God takes you deeper and deeper and deeper, so that then you can go higher and higher and higher. Okay, because that's it. You release, you give, you offer, and God is like, "Oh, now it's empty. Now I'm going to fill it." Okay, and he gives us that kind of energy so that we can live the Christian life from the inside out. But again, we got to be empty in order to be filled. When I was in college, I was learning to drive in the snow for the very first time. I had learned to drive in São Paulo, one of the largest cities in the world. 6 lanes, crazy drivers who honk the horn at every turn because motorcycles just kept swerving around. I learned really good. Chicago is nothing, okay? I mean, Chicago is a piece of cake driving there. Okay, unless it's like icy roads, then no, I don't enjoy it. But I was learning how to drive in the snow, and it wasn't too fun because I kept, you know, like sliding. And I said, "This is so complicated. I really don't enjoy it." And, you know, trying to not slide and not hit the next person, I forgot to look at the gas tank, like gas, you know, where you see how empty or how full it is. And all of a sudden, it was so empty that it stopped right there in the middle of the road, and I had no gas. And I said, "Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I can't move forward. I'm stuck right here." And God is so good that when I got stuck, the gas station was like right there. All I had to do was get out of the car, go plead with an attendant to help me fill up a little bit on the, you know, gas container so I could fill the tank just, enough to get me to the gas station, and they helped me because they heard my accent, and I said, I don't understand nothing, please help me, and they were very helpful. And so, you know, you have your ways of really convincing people that, you know, when you come out as a beggar, oh, you know, people are merciful on you. And so I began to fill my car, and sure enough, I said, I'll never make this mistake ever again. I'll be looking at that little level before it gets too late. Okay, and so that's exactly what happens. Often we are running so low, so low, so empty, that we forget where the source of strength, where the source of power comes. And when we are so empty, all we have to do is say, Lord, fill me up. I can't continue to go this way. I'm going to stop. I'm going to just not be able to run, not be able to do anything. Why? Because I'm empty. I'm like strength, no strength left. We come to him. He's the source. He's the source. You come to him needy. You come to him saying, Lord, I got nothing left. Okay, my son, my daughter, here it is. Poof. Little by little, he gives it. Okay, he lives it. But we have to recognize our own need. We have to recognize our own desire for God's presence. Now, God longs to give us the desires of our hearts. He does. And he wants us to be all that he has created us to be. Now, the relationship with God, our relationship with God, is only as strong and only as good as the time we put into it. Just like your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, your relationship with others, it's only as strong as the time you invest. And it's in with God. You got to put in the time. You got to start little by little seeking him. And little by little, then you become stronger. Why? Because intimacy with God, the greater the intimacy with God, the stronger our spirit becomes. And the stronger our spirit becomes, the more power is given to us to fill us with the real thing, his life. His life. It's readily available. All of us have that kind of life. If you became a Christian, whether it's 20 years ago, whether it's 2 days ago, you have been giving the Holy Spirit already, because you cannot divorce the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They all share the same holiness. You've been given the Holy Spirit. Now you gotta allow him to move, to work, to take you deeper. And the way to do that is just putting in the time with him. 5 minutes a day as you seek his face. 5 minutes meeting him in the word. As you feed your soul, 5 minutes confessing your need, 5 minutes every day. And then it'll grow to 10 minutes, perhaps. And then you're like, oh man, I'm starting to feel hunger for his life. And the amazing thing with spiritual life is that the more hunger you have, the more hunger you get. It's just like, oh, I tasted the goodness of God. I want more of that, okay? Oh, I tasted the presence of God. I want more of that. It's like it keeps you hungry for more. And that's how the Lord satisfies us. Now, the thing is, you got to be willing to lay something down. Okay, because again, we live in a world of fullness, full of activities, full of responsibilities, full of things that keep us, our minds focused on other things instead of focusing on what the Lord wants to do in us, to then live out the life with more peace and joy and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control, all the fruit of the Spirit that comes by being rooted in him. Now, what are you willing to lay down at the foot of the cross? Maybe it's a burden. Maybe it's your need for control. Maybe it's your worry about tomorrow. Maybe it's your shame. Maybe it's the sins of the past that keep following you and make you feel guilty. Maybe it is a relationship. Maybe whatever it is that is almost like stuffing your heart and not creating space for the King, what are you willing to lay down? See, you must empty first. Empty, empty. And then you empty by saying, I offer that. Lord, it's stuck in my heart. Make space. Make space. The moment you make space, the more room he has. And the more room he has, the more power you get. And the more power you get, the more victory you receive. And the more victory you receive, the world will begin to see there's something here. Okay, there's something is happening in their lives. Why? Because it's the true gospel that invigorates us, that renews us, that restructures us, that redeems us. That we no longer have to live in sin. Why? Because he's paid the price. That we no longer have to live in guilt because there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. He paid our sins. He took our shame on the cross. He did it all. We don't have to live thinking about what we've done or what we failed to do. Why? Because he's done it all. Okay? He has paid the price. And he has declared that we are free by the power of his name, not by what we do or fail to do. It is by his power and grace. All it takes is just saying, Lord, I need that. I need you. I need you. So simple. The gospel is so simple. We complicate things. We make it look like it's so hard to follow Jesus. When Jesus is like, just Jesus. It's another theme. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just come. And here's the thing, I want you to close your eyes for a minute and just try this. Just to try this. I want you to imagine that this kind of power I've been talking about carries particles of the Creator, his nature, his heart for you, his plans, purposes, and all of this, it's a gift. It cannot be achieved, it cannot be earned, it can only be received. And he wants to give his presence and take you to where you've been meant to go all along. Imagine that what was possible for the disciples when the Holy Spirit came upon them, it is possible for us right now, today, tomorrow, the next day. How might our lives be different? How would your life change if all of a sudden you decided to make room for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is just ready to meet with you. See, it all depends on you, how willing you are just to take one step, because God will take the rest. And God wants to just simply ask you, will you lay that down and let me come in and fill you up and fill you up? Father, I praise your holy name this morning. I thank you, God, for the power of your gospel, the good news of salvation, the good news of transformation, the good news, Lord, that you have given all so that we could be free, so that we could be empowered, so that we could walk in holiness with you, so that you would take us deeper and lower, so that you, Lord Jesus, would rise higher and higher, that the world may see who is the real King. So I pray, Father, right now, Lord Jesus, that you will fill this house with your presence. Just like you fill the house, Lord, where the disciples were meeting and gathered, fill this house, Lord. Fill this house. Fill it with your presence. Fill it with your glory. Fill it, Lord Jesus, with people that are hungry and thirsty and will turn to you when they hear the whistle calling them, Lord, to come, to come. So I pray, Father God, that you will fill every single person here. You will give a double portion of your spirit upon every pastor, Pastor Rich, Pastor Ben, Pastor Travis, Pastor Carry all the pastors that you have called to this place, all the lay leaders, all the visitors, all the people here, Father God, gathered in your name. Give them the victory. Give us, Lord Jesus, deliverance. Give us healing. Give us, Father God, this kind of power that flourishes from within so that we may be blessed. Bless us, Lord Jesus, with your presence. Bless us, Lord Jesus, with your power. Bless us, oh God, with a renewed sense of hope, with a renewed sense of life, with a renewed sense of purpose. Fill us, Lord, as we lay it down, our burdens, our worries, anything that has been stuck in in our hearts. We offer it, Lord, to you by faith. We offer it, Lord, by faith, knowing that you, who began a good work in us, will carry it to completion until the day of Christ. And you, who promised, is faithful, and you will do it. So strengthen us, O God. Protect us from the evil one. Allow us, Lord Jesus, to resist temptation. Allow us to grow in step with your Spirit and to live a life that is victorious, that is empowered, that is real, and that is, Lord Jesus, laid down for the sake of your kingdom. Lay us down, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us and for what you will do in the days to come.
I'm going to ask you to stand if you would. And I'm going to ask you all to raise your hand again. Here's what I know. There's not a single person in this room today that doesn't need a fresh filling every day of the Holy Spirit. So if your hand's in the air today, you stand just like me as somebody with need. And I just want to encourage you, take the words that God put into Dr. Twible to share with us. Whatever's in your heart that you need to lay down, whatever needs to get unstuck, spend your days allowing the Holy Spirit to mind those things out. Allowing God to begin that work in your heart to change you from the inside out. And he is faithful. He is so ready to fill you with a fresh wind and a fresh fire to purify your heart and live for him. So thank you for sticking your hand in the air with me in admitting we all need that filling today, don't we? Father, your grace is sufficient to meet us exactly where we are. You never leave us. You never forsake us. We thank you for this word today. We thank you for this worship. We thank you for this opportunity to live out what it means to be real life. Help us to cling to that today as we leave this place. Help us to love each other well. It's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Find somebody before you leave. Shake their hand. Thanks.